I was asked to bring a short message on the prophecy and fulfillment of the Christ's birth. And if I go a little bit long, the choir will start singing and it'll be over. So you'll know. Anyhow, we're going to go into this. We've already read, and we're going to read some more, Matthew and Luke's account of the birth of the Savior. And that's a fantastic story. We're going to read more, spend some more time on that a little bit later. But here back the 1st of November when Pastor Bobby started a series in Colossians, I was struck by something that he told us, he said, he brought up. And he said, we're entering into the time of the year when what do we believe? And we never answer that question. What do you believe? And that's a very important question. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. I know for myself, at a very young age, I accept the Lord as my Savior. It was a very traumatic event in my life. I remember it very, very well. I was about 5. And most of you know my dad was a preacher, and we spent a lot of time at the church and whatnot. And one day there was a funeral. And after the funeral, my brother Mel and I were over in the church. I don't know what we were doing there, causing trouble probably, but anyhow, we were there, and I asked some questions, and my brother Mel, any of you that know him, is a storyteller. He loves to tell stories. We spent most of our life, well, until the time we left home, together in a bedroom. We shared a bedroom, and Mel would tell me stories at night. He could yarn a story, unbelievable. I don't remember one of them, but he told great stories, and it was great. But he told a story about what happened at death. And he brought that very real to me. He said, we just experienced a funeral. A person died. And when you die, there's two options. You go to heaven or you go to hell. And so then he explained that. He said, you die if you go to heaven. If you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, you go to heaven. Fantastic place where God is. You'll join family. You'll be there with the Lord. What a great life that's going to be. If you die without the Savior, you go to hell. And then he explained hell, and he talked about that. And him being a storyteller made it pretty real. And it is real. We don't want to make light of it. When you die, if you don't know the Savior, you're going to go to hell. And it's a place, the Bible talks about that, a place that burns with fire. It's never quenched, and torment goes on forever. And he explained that to me, and then he went on and he said, you know, Danny, he said, everybody in our family has accepted the Lord. We're going to heaven. You haven't. You're going to go to hell. And you know, at that point, I bolted. I left. I couldn't take any more of that story. And we just lived across the street from the church, and so I went home. Mom and Dad were there, and my dad, being a preacher, he took advantage of that situation, and he got down the Bible, and he explained it to me, explained salvation. He explained why we get saved and how to get saved. And at that point, I put my faith in Christ and accepted him. So I know what I believe, why I believe it. And no, I didn't know everything at age 5. I didn't understand everything. Nobody does when they accept the Lord. But as we grow, we learn and we expand our knowledge and we draw closer to the Lord. And that's the important thing. And so we did that. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. The Bible is chock full of issues about belief, our faith and our belief. It goes clear back to creation. What do you believe about creation? I believe God created the heavens and the earth. He put everything that's in it, animals, humans. He set a plan out, and we were there, and they lived. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect place and had it. And what did they do? They were told not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What did they do? Eve ate of the tree. We call it an apple. I don't know what it was, some kind of a fruit. And then she gave it to her husband, and he also ate. What happened at that time? You all know the story. They were separated from God. They hid themselves. And it tells us in that passage that God walked with them at night in the cool of the day. He came and talked with them personally and visited them. And that night he came and he started calling for Adam, "Where art thou?" Adam was hiding because he knew he had been separated from God. And so that is when it all started, and that's when sin began, and that's when we need a Savior. Well, he put a plan in place that he's carried out yet to this day, plan of salvation. There is hope for us. There is something besides death and separation from God. And we're going to dive into a couple of these examples, a couple that came to my mind quite quickly. They're just, like I said, Bible's full of reasons, of things to believe, and why our faith should be centered in God. And so I went to one, and I want to read most of the story because I think it is really fitting, and it gives us a good example. Over in Genesis chapter 22, one of God's beloved, Abraham. God saw Abraham. He was a righteous man, and God blessed him. He gave him a covenant. In other words, he made a contract with him or a pledge to him. He gave him a land, a seed, and a blessing. The land that he could go and possess and be part of it. He promised him seed, and his seed would be like the stars in the heaven. You ever looked up at the stars at night in a clear place? How many stars are up there? You can't number them. Every time you think you get it figured out, there's another one appears. And that's the way that he promised it. His seed would be like that. Well, Sarah and Abraham didn't have any children. He was an old man earlier when God promised this to him. But he gave him a son, Isaac. And Isaac was very close to his father. A very dear individual. And then he also, a blessing. Of your seed, there will be no end. It'll go on forever. And so Abraham understood all this and he got it. And we pick it up in Genesis chapter 22. Begin there. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Now, at that time, sin had to be atoned by shed blood, something. And they would kill a lamb. If you remember the stories and whatnot, a lamb would be slain and blood spilled out, and they would offer an offering and covered. And so basically God was telling Abraham, take your son, offer him as a sacrifice. This was kind of tough, but what did he have promised? Your seed will last forever. It'll never go away. And so Abraham was believing God fully. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to the servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." And we see right there the beginning of his faith and understanding in God. God had promised that his seed would last forever. So you go over there, and we're going to go over there, and we're going to come back. Doesn't make sense. If you're going to offer him, you're going to come back. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went up together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, or said to Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "Well, where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Isaac was starting to figure something doesn't make sense. It's not coming together in his mind as a boy. And he's saying, "There's more to this story than I know, Dad." And then he goes on and said, "Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, I raised four kids, and I don't think I could have caught any of them and bound them and put them on an altar to burn. I'm not very fast. They're a lot faster than I was. So they would have got away one way or another. But somehow this worked out, and Abraham took his son and bound him and put him on that altar. And it's there. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And this is the fantastic part. He was ready and willing to do what God had told him to do. He knew that his seed would last forever, but he knew God would do something magnificent, and he did. But the angel of the Lord called on to him, called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by horns. And he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So God always provides a way of escape for us. He cares about us. He doesn't put us in a place where we can't escape from. He has a plan. God planned things out from the beginning. It's very well planned. Another example I went to, one that I'm not going to read for you, because you all know it probably is better as well or better than I do, but over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we get the story of David and Goliath. And this is another fascinating story, one in the Bible that God has written for us. And the Israelites were fighting the Philistines. And what was happening, there was this giant of a man. He stood 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That's just about up to one of those chandeliers, you know. That's pretty tall. And I'd be shaking my boots if I saw a guy like that. He came in and said he wanted something. I'd say, "What do you want? Here it is." You know, anyhow, he was taunting the Israelites. He was coming and saying, you know, "Fight me. Whoever wins will worship their God." And he was defying our Lord God. And he was doing that. And David, you know the story. He was a shepherd boy. He came up to visit his brothers. And he was there. And he said, "That's not right. You don't defy God. You stand up for it." He says, "I'll fight him." Now, it says he was a boy, shepherd boy. We all think of a little lad. And he was a pretty good-sized guy. I think he was probably 18, 20, somewhere in that. Anyhow, he went on to be a soldier after that, so he was pretty good. And what did he do? You know the story. He went out there, and Goliath comes down, and he said, "What have you sent a kid out here to me?" Taunted him, you know, and made fun of him, scoffed. And what did David do? He takes his sling, puts one of his stones in it, and he hurls it. Now, as a boy, I heard this story. I had to go out and get a sling and practice. I don't know if any of you ever tried that, but there's a real science to it, and I never got it. I'd sling, and I'd lucky if the rock even left the sling. But anyhow, David was good at it. God had blessed him in that way, and that was his means. And that rock, you know, went up and hit Goliath in the forehead, knocked him out. He fell to the ground. David went up, took Goliath's sword, cut his head off, and it was over. God had won the victory. It's amazing. That's what God is. Well, we're going to go on in the story. We need to get to the birth of the Savior. I'm just telling my about believing, and I think that is so critical. But in Isaiah chapter 7, 14 and then 9, there's some more. We read some verses here. Verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give to you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel." And then over in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, there's more to this. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and peace, there will be no end." He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding with justice and righteousness from the time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And so they're foretelling the birth of the Savior that is coming later. Like I said, they've been reading the scriptures from Luke and John or Matthew, which are the most talked about at this time of year. It's in all the Gospels, the birth of the Savior. But to me, there's another fantastic story of belief and faith. What did they read? The angel came to Mary. What did he tell her? You're going to have a child. And Mary came back with the comment there. We got a normal kid. Could have been one in a church somewhere like ours. Young couple, engaged to be married, and came to her and said, you're going to have a child. And she said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. How can this be? And the angel explained it to her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll give birth. And she believed this. She accepted it because it was coming from God. The same story went to Joseph. The angel went to Joseph and told him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She's with child, but it's from the Holy Ghost. And you can be proud of this. And so they came together. They didn't consummate their marriage until after the birth of the Savior. But they lived together without shame. And it's a fantastic story because how many of us would have taken a story like that and accepted it and believed it and moved forward? And it just fascinates me. There's belief in God. And that's what we're rooted and grounded in, is a belief in God. But even more fascinating than that is the story that comes 32 years later. What happened then? Our Savior was crucified upon a cross. He had lived here. He had done many miraculous things. He had been with the people and taught them and told them about the Savior or about what Christ was doing for them and what to look forward to. And it's such a blessed thing. And then he was crucified upon the cross. And I don't want to give the Easter story at this time, but you all know it. You know it well. You've all been through it, experienced the death of the Savior and the crucifixion. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Are we a doubting Thomas? You know, or John 20, we won't read that either, but what did Thomas say? You know, the Lord had come to the disciples and he wasn't there, and the disciples told him, he says, I won't believe till I can put my fingers in his hands, in the nail hole, or my hand up his side where he was pierced. And so the Lord came to him again, and Thomas was there. And the Lord called him out. Come, put your fingers in my hand, side. It was real. And Thomas said, my Lord, my God. And, you know, he believed at that point. Do we need that much? We shouldn't. The Bible gives us very good examples of all this. It tells us these things. We need to believe that. And, you know, if nothing else you get from this, have you accepted the Lord as your Savior? Have you taken that step? Do you have that belief? Do you know why you have that belief? Are you looking for the coming of the Lord? He told us that as well, that he was going to come one day and take us to glory with him. We have that to look forward to. What a blessed thing that is. And we have to have it. My friend, don't leave here today without making that your life. Accept the Savior. Believe in that. And then when somebody says, what are you talking about when you believe? I believe in God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. What a blessed thing we have. And it's that time. That's what we celebrate this time of year, is the birth, the beginning of all that. And we have so much to look forward to, so many blessings that is given us by God. So I just pray that each one of you has made that real in your life. Thank you. They didn't start singing. You're okay.